Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is a special Dynasty Trades edition of the Dynasty Daily Podcast. I had committed to doing primarily rookie draft stuff essentially in all of April. But something has come up that I think is important to discuss is a continuation on multiple aspects of the 2021 edition of the Analytics of Dynasty, as a matter of fact. And it's a big strategic trade. It's a big strategic decision. And I want to sort of talk about it while it's fresh in my mind, while we're thinking about rookie drafts. I think this is not necessarily diverting from rookie draft content because I think it hits on my feelings about it in a pretty critical way. So I figured I would throw this in here and sort of the prospect rotation, you know, and what's going to become a pretty familiarized April schedule here. And so the trade is this, okay? And I'll sort of lay it out and then I'll lay the background and then I'll sort of talk about it specifically. So we'll hit it from a couple of different perspectives. So the trade, the headline trade is as follows. This is a two quarterback league. There's some tight end premium aspects that make it roughly close to two PPR on a single tight end. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but that's essentially what it operates out to being. And the trade is as follows. Nick Chubb and the 101 for David Montgomery, the 104, the 106, and a 2023 first. Now, there's a number of things in this trade that I think are very relevant, and there's a number of things that there's a number of strategic decisions. I could probably do 90 minutes on this because I think it is very much who I have become in as a dynasty trader, who I've become as a dynasty manager, who I've become as a dynasty analyst. And this has taken a long time to get to, and this is, I think, the right way to play. It's the plus EV way to play. And one thing I've heard people say, Carlo has one of the best lines that I've ever heard about decision making, which is if it feels really good, probably not the right decision. If it feels really hard, you're probably doing it right. And this is one of those trades. And I have, in the past, I have not traded Nick Chubb when I should have traded Nick Chubb because I love Nick Chubb. I have not traded players in profiles before because I love the player in profile. I am much, much more in the business of making the right trade, right? Making the mind trade than making the heart trade, right? Making the heart decision now. And this is that trade, okay? This trade comes from a couple of places that I think are really relevant. Okay, this trade comes in a team where I'm not gonna say as I sit here right now, and this is one of the beauties of the trade. I'm not in a position to say that I am not a contender in 2021. Okay, I don't believe that I'm totally out of the running. Okay, so I'll give you a quick rundown of why I say that, and. There's going to be more to it than that, okay? But I'll give you a quick rundown of why I say that. I entered this trade with Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, Jameis Winston. Again, this is two quarterback, 101, 103. I've got Fournette, Damian Harris. I had Nick Chubb. I've got Benny Snell. I've got a full buffet of human hand grenades. Devontae Adams, Marquise Brown. I've got Julio. I've got Sammy, AJ Green, right? The wide receiving core hasn't really totally come together on this team. It's a 40-man roster, so it's deep. I've got Ingram. Jordan Akins is a guy that I have that I'm actually decently excited about. Cole Kmet. So I have assets, again, 101, 103. I got my full allotment. It's 203, 303, 403, 503. I think I might have another third in there too, but you get the idea, right? I would say, can I make the playoffs? Absolutely. Am I going to get a bye? Probably not. Do I have a puncher's chance at being pretty competitive? You know, if things broke my way, right? If Julio's healthy, if Adams is what he is, if you know, Chubb posts a top six finish, right? I get, you know, maybe I get some upside on Harris. I get, you know, I can get a really good season out of Fournette. You know, and Stafford's a top 10 guy, and Murray's another top, you know, six type finish. Right. Yeah, I can sort of piece that together and say I'm pretty competitive. Do I have a lead upside? Probably not. That's, you know, and if you sort of look back at last year, you know, fueled by a Devontae Adams just juggernaut, I was a middling team. And so when you sort of look at the hey, how do things break really right for me? Part of that calculus is, like, I'm going to get regression out of my wide receiver one. So how am I really two or three wins better than that? It's really the ultimate question. Can I be? Yeah, Nick Chubb can be better. I can get some more Fournette. I can get some more Harris, right? I could sort of piece together, you know, half wins here and there, and it can sort of add up. You know, Julio's healthy, but I could sort of get to that. But it's going to take a lot of things to go right for that to happen. Not saying it's not going to. Not saying I'm punting on this. But I think, I do think that is a possibility. Okay, it is a possibility that I'm good. With that in mind, I wanted to keep options open in this trade. Okay, so I am not in a position to say that I'm not competitive. I'm leaving my options open as I sit here in April. Is my most likely play to sort of tear down and build? Yes. Okay. So I make this trade with the idea that, hey, I have assets that I can trade, that I can do other things with, right? That maybe my best team, hopefully my best team, is not 2021. Maybe the 2021 team's competitive. Maybe I sort of stay put, but I want to have options into the future. I want to give myself some flexibility and some optionality in terms of how I'm going to build. If that is in the next couple of weeks, I make cascade trades off this. That's totally possible. If it is that I'm making trades off this in August, if I'm making trades off this in November, right? I'm in a position right now where I need to give myself some optionality in terms of how I build this team. I want to lead upside in this team. It's a higher buy-in league. It's a league with a big prize for first place. So there's a big incentive to be up at the top, right? To be elite. And so that is what I'm sort of thinking in my mind throughout the basis of this trade. Again, I'm thinking about 2022 content in terms of topics, in terms of ideas. One of the things I was kicking around in the GroupMe chat today was thinking about whether it's an orphan chapter, an orphan adoption chapter, a rebuilding chapter, thinking about some of the processes and all of that. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot because of this team and a couple of other teams that are higher buy-in teams. I'm sort of a middling team, and I want to capture upside because the payoff's really big. Right, if I'm sort of stuck in the middle, am I maximizing my potential profit? I don't think so. So that's the foundation for the trade. The way I got the pick, I think, is relevant. So the way I got the pick is, this. It's the Damian Williams trade from the Analytics Dynasty book. It was Damian Williams in 2019. I'll just sort of paraphrase what I wrote in the book. I was looking for a future pick, right? I couldn't get a 2019 first. I was trying to get a 2020 first. I couldn't get a 2020 first. So I'll take a 2021 first. Essentially, the trade was Damian Williams and James Washington for a 2021 first and AJ Green. That was ultimately the deal. And, you know, that was something in my mind that I'm trying to capture upside. And I needed, you know, it was the Damian Williams idea, the Damian Williams concept of, if I do this deal, Damian Williams probably historically is unlikely to really move the needle on a 2021 first. Again, this trade was made 18 months ago. This is an 18 months in the making type type deal. And I said, listen, right, Damian Wims could have a really big 2020 or a really big 20. That would have been the 2019 season. He could have a really big 2019. There was no real competition there. There was no real, it was basically the him show at the time I made the trade. Ultimately, they brought in LeSean McCoy. That sort of took a little bit of the buzz off it to some degree. But it, at that point, it was the Damian Williams 2019 show. And this was coming off a big 2018 finish. But I said to myself, listen, the odds of someone coming for where Damian Williams came, which is plus 200 in ADP, for him to come in, finish with a bang, finish 2019 with a really good season, not face draft competition, finish 2020 with a big season that really impacts the quality of the pick that I'm going to get in return, the odds of that are like 2%. It is just an incredibly rare profile. That just doesn't really happen. If he comes into 2019, is a starter, and you can say, hey, listen, maybe it's a 50-50 shot. He stays healthy. And, you know, 50-50, you know, 50% of that is he stays healthy and is really productive. The other half is 50% and he's not, you know, he's not productive or he's injured or something like that. Like, that's basically the split. Like, that's a pretty good shot that my pick's not going to be that good. This guy was also loading up for 2019. And so all the things basically pointed to, hey, that 2020 pick might not be that valuable. The 2020 pick, the 2021 pick, this year's pick, 2 years out, two rookie drafts out, that has the ability to be really high because Damian Williams is very unlikely historically to impact that pick. That pick rolls over, you know, a couple of months after I make the trade, the guy's already tearing it down, trying to trade for 2021 picks. I'm sitting glorious as he's tearing this down. And I'm just, you know, I'm like Mr. Burns, you know, rubbing my fingers together, doing excellent, right? This is going perfectly in my way. He is the worst team in the league. I get the 101. This is the deal that I got back AJ Green with the intention of trying to take some the top off of his 2020 season, right? Some of the ceiling off of that. Ultimately, it didn't matter. Right? He could have had AJ Green and maybe even been worse off for it. But that was the structure of the trade. So that's how I got the pick. So as I'm sitting here now, I'm sitting on a first. I don't have a need at quarterback. Was it nice to have another high-end quarterback? Sure. I don't have a need for it. Again, I don't draft for need. I don't recommend drafting for need. I don't think that you should make your decisions about what your needs are. I think you should address them in trades. I think you should address them in free agent bidding. I think you should address them in tinkering with your roster, particularly in trades. That's how you address need. You address need by fortifying a strength and then trading from a strength more than you do drafting for need. So that's really part of the big Jordan ethos, I guess. The big Jordan, you know, approach to this thing is you don't draft for need. You trade for need. You draft your strength. The 101, I think Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in this class, period. I think the odds that Trevor Lawrence is ultimately the best quarterback in this class from a fantasy perspective is maybe like 30 to 40%. I think the odds are that if I draft two guys at two quarterbacks, that I'm probably plus EV over Trevor Lawrence, particularly in this class, right? So I sit here, I have 101, I have 103. That was my pick. So I had the 101, which is the pick that I got in the trade. I have 103, which is the other bullet in the chamber. And I'm probably going to get a shot at no worse than quarterback three in this class. It's running back one, tight end one, wide receiver one, potentially depending how I want to go. Haven't made a decision yet. Don't need to. At this point, it's still a couple of weeks away, what, 3-4 weeks away until the draft. But I've got options. Right. So I've been thinking about this trade quite a bit. And one of the things with this trade is the data from the 2021 edition of the Analytics of Dynasty strongly suggests, well, to take a step back, the data from the 2020 edition strongly suggests we overvalue young quarterbacks. 2021 takes it a step further, and it really says that the order in which we select top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL draft isn't better than random. Okay, so if you think about that going back, it's not, you don't have to go back far for that to be true. Okay, you don't have to go back far for Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson to be the two best quarterbacks from that class. That class is historically good, and we have seen a very familiar pattern, which is two of the guys bust, two of them are, you know, good on the rookie deal. One of them is in line for a Supermax contract. You could argue at this point that two of them are in line for a Supermax contract. It could be both Jackson and Allen. We'll see. But then basically, you know, whether or not one of the, or two of the guys get a Supermax, basically, you know, the other one you would expect basically two to bust, and then three to sign long-term contracts, essentially. You know, maybe one or two of them is a Supermax deal, and another one is a longer-term deal that is ultimately a bad investment, right? So one's a Supermax that's, he turns into a really long-term high-end asset. Two of them are also long-term assets. One of them really disappoints. You think of the Goff, Wentz, second contract experience. And then one of the guys is really good, right? That is the, you know, that is kind of on the line of like the Stafford, or heck, Deshaun Watson was even a richer man's version of that. But that's sort of the idea. So that's the idea. And you have in this class, I think there's going to be four, if not five guys that are in the top 10 of this draft, top 10, top 12, something like that. And you say, listen, if I get two shots at that, the chances are that I'm going to outproduce Trevor Lawrence. The chances are, if I take two shots in the top 10 of this class at quarterback, I'm going to probably outproduce the number one guy. Right? That is a plus EV bet. With this trade, I'm probably going to be able to take two of them. If I want to, I find it probably unlikely that this will be the case, but it's possible. I could take three of them. Again, I don't necessarily think I need to. I don't necessarily think I will. But I could if I want to. Right? If that's the right deal, I'll do it. If that's the right decision, as I sit there on the clock, that's what I'll do. And I think ultimately, the fact that ADP has not shown to predict the better fantasy asset in terms of top 10 quarterbacks, the fact that NFL draft pedigree has not shown to predict fantasy success in that top 10 quadrant, that is really significant. Okay, and the question is how do we leverage that? The question is, we don't just punt down on the pick and just take a loss at market value. It's we figure out a way to take multiple bets, right? We figure out a way to capture some of that floor and capture some of that ceiling, right? If that's trading down from, you know, 101, picking up another one of those shot of that quarterback and taking Kirk Cousins along the way, right? You've probably captured both ceiling and floor that you're trying to capture with one, right? That's kind of diversifying what is a largely random situation. I use the D word there. It's typically a bad word for me. I know it's a ton of diversifying, but I see that bet is largely a random bet, and that's a different situation than diversifying it away from players, right? I'm kind of diversifying. I'm taking two random bets instead of one. I think my odds are better off with that in the long term. So that's really the angle that I took with this trade. So I tried to trade down a bunch of different ways from this. You know, I was kind of looking for two top 10 picks was really the goal, plus something, right? Plus a different, an additional piece, whether that's a player. You know, I've looked at trying to acquire, you know, basically to move down from one to three and get multiple players in return. That hasn't worked. But, you know, I'm working a lot of different ways and spent a lot of different ways trying to figure out what I want to do with 101. Ultimately today, this trade comes into fruition. Okay, this trade comes in. We had flirted back and forth for months with trade offers, and it didn't get too serious, and we never got all that close. But you know, I have spent this off season really looking at the Trevor Lawrence angle and thinking about how to diversify on players. That's the other thing. Or not diversify, but arbitrage. Arbitrage on players. Hey, there's this guy that's really good in a 1-year window, Nick Chubb, who, quite frankly, there's risk there, right? It hasn't signed a long-term extension. If he does in May, that's a totally different story. We can sort of reevaluate. But as you sit here right now, a Marlon Mack situation could take what is a top 40 asset and make him a top 150 asset really quickly. Okay, I don't think that's a likely outcome, but that's absolutely in his range of outcomes. Okay, that is absolutely in his range of outcomes. And so if you take a different player, like a David Montgomery, again, I'm just applying tiers here, right? This is not anything that is foreign. If you sort of followed along and listen to use tiers and sort of listen to what I talk about, I'm just implementing this. Okay. I think David Montgomery's on a couple year window, whereas I think Nick Chubb's in a 1 year of security window. Is the ceiling for David Montgomery as high as Nick Chubb? Probably not with Tariq Cohen back, but I wouldn't necessarily rule that out. And you sort of look, and you know, Mike Clay came out with his projections today, and it was something like 35 catches for Nick Chubb. And he has, I think, a top 10, top 12 type projection on him, much lower on Montgomery. But I don't think it's that far away in terms of receiving. Right? I don't think it's that far away. I think a lot of it's touchdown based, and a lot of that can be fluky. And ultimately, the difference between a running back at 10 or 12, something in that range, which he's got Chubb in, you know, we'll call it 6 to 12 range, isn't that terribly different from running back 18 to 24, which is about the range of Montgomery. It's not that different, right? It's a less than a half a win difference is ultimately about what you're thinking. So again, and that's projecting a static point. There's ranges of outcomes, right? There's a low range of outcome for David Montgomery. Sure, I think it's lower than Nick Chubb, absolutely. But I think that their ceilings might be relatively similar. And we've seen a top 8 finish out of David Montgomery. And we're probably undervaluing him. So you know, to trade in a vacuum, if you look at this trade in two pieces, I think that I've tried this in this particular league, is to this particular counterpart, to this particular dynasty GM, which is trade Nick Chubb for David Montgomery and a first, whether that's a first this year, a first in the future. But I think that is an arbitrage play that I'm willing to do. Again, I'm not sure I'm going to compete this year. I want to leave my options open. Right, if there are cascades that come from this and it turns into being a teardown, fine. If there's cascades from this and it turns into being much more competitive this year, fine. But I'm leaving myself lots of options. I'm leaving myself flexibility and optionality. And by doing this trade, I haven't ruled out any of my ranges of outcomes. I have potentially increased my odds for this year, which is if I want to now take... you know, I could conceivably, I'm not saying that I'm going to do this, but I could conceivably at 104 take running back 1, and at 106 take running back 2, and all of a sudden, you know, you add in another quarterback on top of that and maybe some tinkering at the wide receiver position, I could see myself as competitive. On the flip side, I could potentially acquire more assets and kick it down the line. This is kind of like the Oklahoma City Chris Paul trade to me. Oklahoma City traded Russell Westbrook, got Chris Paul back, who could potentially compete for them, and in the process got a whole bunch of picks. And you know, Chris Paul, basically they rehabilitated his value and traded him for a bunch of picks, and then they put themselves in a long-term position that has a ton of picks. That's a potential range of outcomes for me. And so that's really the thing that with this trade is sometimes these things don't work in 2-for-1s or 1-for-2s, right? The Nick Chubb for David Montgomery in a first, he's not maybe not necessarily going to pay that. Maybe he doesn't want to give me 2 top 6 picks for 101. But if I combine the two, that it gives me basically all that I want. right? Which is, I wanted to do the Nick Chubb Montgomery deal, and I wanted to do the 101 for the multiple top six picks. And by basically combining them together, that sort of masquerades some of the difference in the value. All right, some of the problem with that trade. I wanted more than 104 and 106. I included a future first, right? I think the way it came back to me, you know, I think I included a future first, and I was going to give a future second. So basically move from a second to a first, basically a pick swap in the future. And he came back with this Nick Chubb, David Montgomery angle of it, right? Take out the pick swap, basically make it add in, Nick Chubb for Montgomery and a 2023 first. And that's basically where you get with the deal. So that's essentially what happened. And so I do think, I think that these are the types of deals that can have really difference-making outcomes. Could I lose it? Absolutely. And one of the things that I am not willing to do in deals, and I talked about this in the 2021 edition in the trade section, which is I'm okay losing, right? I am not willing to spend my time worrying about what happens if I lose, right? I think sometimes you have to take bigger risks to have high upside. That is kind of an 8% type outcome. I think this is an 8% type outcome trade. If I stack a couple quarterbacks, this could be a quarterback, running back one, and Kyle Pitts, right? It is a fairly good chance that if I want to, I can take the best player at two positions, having 3, 4, and 6. That's a fairly good bet that I can get that. Again, is it possible that I move again? I have a lot of options. And the good part about sort of stocking up on a draft class like this is you have a lot of options to move. I have a lot of flexibility. I can move around if I want to. And so that's the other thing with this is the power of that. And when you sort of get a bunch of picks kind of in the same range of a range that you really want to hit, I find myself to be highly effective at getting in a range, really understanding a range, and then moving within it. And so this is one of those deals where if I do it in January, I feel less comfortable about the tier. As we sort of get closer to the draft, I feel much better about the tier. You could debate with me that the tier of the top guys is somewhere between like 8 and 12. I personally think it's a tighter range. You know, I've spoken and written quite a bit that I think we probably do wide receiver too early in rookie drafts. And if we sort of just avoided wide receiver in rookie drafts, that it would boost our hit rate. So that's not necessarily a specific indictment about Ja'Marr Chase, but it is an indictment of the wide receiver position, generally speaking. And so that's one of the things with this, right? Again, maybe there's a situation where I can sort of trade out of this pick. It's Ja'Marr Chase, and I trade down, get another asset, get future picks, right? And I can sort of cascade this, right? That is in my range of outcomes. That is something that I'm now thinking about. Maybe I trade down, and this could be a potentially another interesting one, and maybe a debate for another time, which is how deep should my rebuild be? If I'm going to go that route, should I fully go that route and sort of tear it all the way down? Or is there a scenario where I can take the Ja'Marr Chase, I can add in, a contending type player, move down and hit the rookie draft pick with it, right? So take a, I'm just using a player, take a wide, I'm just using a specific wide receiver 4, who may be a first round wide receiver. And if I, in that move down process, I can get, a wide receiver that helps me this year, and fill in both. Is that something that I want to do? I'm not sure, right? Is trading the Kyle Pitts for TJ Hockenson plus something that I could do, right? All of those things are now open to me, and I'm highly flexible and very, very limber in terms of doing all of those things because I have a lot of assets in that same range and I can be selective, right? I know that there's like 3 or 4 guys that I would sort of put in the same tier as Pitts in a startup draft. And I think that there's a pretty good chance that someone else is going to value Pitts significantly higher than one of those players, right? So now I just have to pick that out, right? That's the next step of the process. But that's ultimately the deal that I'm, so that's the deal that I make. It is, and when I take a look at it, again, I don't even try and play this game. I know other people do. I'm not worried about future valuation. It's particularly all over the place when you sort of try and predict it into the future. You don't need to go back much further than last year when now Herbert's much more expensive than Tua. He's more expensive than Burrow, and he was quarterback 3 by a significant margin. You don't have to go back far. People are saying that Trevor Lawrence is the most insulated player in dynasty history in terms of rookies. I have seen the Baker Mayfield example, right? He was more valuable to the quarterback position than Trevor Lawrence is right now. Where is he now? That was 24 months ago. Again, I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is going to turn into Baker Mayfield, but to think that that is not in his range of outcomes is malpractice. So that's really ultimately the deal that I made. Again, I have flexibility. I have optionality, and I have plenty of different bullets to fire now. Again, can move within that same tier. Wouldn't shock me if I sort of went back to the well, traded down again, and collected a future asset. Wouldn't shock me at all. Wouldn't shock me if, you know, Adams, if I wanted to trade Adams now, could I trade Adams and sort of collect more assets in this range and fire that bullet? Maybe. We'll see. I got plenty of options. I can potentially do that in the future here. But I did think this was important in terms of thinking about, you know, the upside of future trades, right? That 2023 first. We're looking at a Laremy Tunsil type situation, right? We're looking at hey, you took Laremy Tunsil, Miami, and you traded him for like 4 firsts. Now I think is what the count is, something like that. That's a huge windfall. For a guy that fell because he was in a bong gas mask, right? That is a huge windfall. And sort of being open to those ideas by taking a long-term bet. Those are the things that can really, really turn well and have asymmetric outcomes. So we'll put a cap on this by just going back to that summer of 2019 trade. Damian Williams and James Washington for AJ Green, 104, 106, and a future pick is essentially what it turns out to be. And we'll see how that all turns out. But, you know, keep churning those out. And again, it's really Chubb is in that deal too. So it's Chubb, Damian Williams, and James Washington, for AJ Green, 104, 106, and a future first, and David Montgomery. So we'll see how it turns out, but that's sort of the process behind it. I thought it was important. You know, I like to try and incorporate some trade tactics in the rookie draft stuff. So I thought it was valuable and some implementation in how we think about rookie drafts. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. A bigger, longer, topical, strategic, tactical trade discussion. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.